time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about first day jitters.
What do you feel when you think about the first day of school? Are you happy and excited with an optimistic look on the year? Or are you terrified and nervous with a ball of anxiety setting up shop in the pit of your stomach? For Joe Schaefer, they experienced all the emotions when they walked through the doors on their first day of school. Joe originally recorded the following essay about 6 years ago when they were a high school junior at Madison West. We're revisiting this story because it's been turned into an animation, and it'll air on the season premiere of Wisconsin Public Television's Wisconsin Life this week. Here's Joe.
The first day of school. Lockers will slam and bells will ring. Pencils will be sharpened and chairs will creak. You will see more people in one place than you have in months. If you're like me, you'll be nervous. I'll be a junior at West High in Madison this year. I've never been a very confident person, and the first day of school terrifies me. It's not just the return of homework and tests. The first day of school means relating to all your classmates. When you pass the 10 or so people who you actually know, you say hi. For the other 2,990, you stare straight ahead. You endure the feeling that for the past 3 months, everyone was having more fun than you. Meanwhile, you watched all 9 seasons of Everybody Loves Raymond. You shake it off and go to your first class. Now comes the worst part of all, the thing you've been dreading all summer, name games. The rules may vary, but the concept remains the same. Tell us about yourself. Let us get to know you. Expose yourself to judgment from your peers. The risk of humiliation is tremendous. Okay, class, the teacher says. Can you name 3 facts about yourself? Never has there been a more loaded question. They're not just asking for 3 facts. They're asking you to sum yourself up. Your heart is palpitating. You're sweating profusely. Why did you wear boots on the first day? It's still summer, but you just had to have that extra inch of height. You cleared 6 feet, but good God, at what cost? Now there's just one more kid away from your turn. The guy in the polo shirt is talking about how his uncle owns a farm. You're jealous. That's not really such a bad fact. Can you top it? Humor might be your best option, but then again, a joke is risky. What if no one laughs? Now the kid in the polo shirt has only one more fact to go. Turns out he's passionate about dirt bikes. Why aren't you passionate about anything? He works in a joke and it gets a chuckle. At this point, you would give your soul for a chuckle. Finally, it's your turn. There's a pause. Everyone's looking at you. The kid in the polo shirt seems so happy he survived. And then, a gift from the gods. The sweetest sound known to man. The clear, bright ring of the bell. Class is over. You pack up and meet your friends for lunch. You marvel at your good luck. Maybe this year won't be so bad after all.
That piece was written by Joe Schaefer, a former Madison resident who shared their first day of school jitters back when they were a high school junior. Joe now lives in New York City and works as a filmmaker and musician. Joe's essay was turned into an animation, which you can see in the season premiere of Wisconsin Public Television's Wisconsin Life this week. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Now, Wisconsin is home to many great conservationists who work to study our environment and preserve our natural areas. But not many of them also happen to be a dog. That honor goes to Tilia, a chocolate lab working at the Mequon Nature Preserve. She spends a lot of her time sniffing out animals and invasive species. Corey Gritzmacher is director of restoration and operations at the Mequon Nature Preserve. He works with Tilia. Corey, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, can you tell us how Tilia got started working with you on conservation there in Mequon?
Yeah, it really started as our executive director was searching the internet for a new family dog. And she really stumbled upon this idea of conservation dog and was really kind of got curious about it. Like, what do you mean? What's this all about? So upon further investigation, I mean, it's kind of not an old idea. And it's not a new idea. I mean, it's been around for about 20 years, the idea of conservation dogs. And it's the similar idea that, you know, we see narcotic dogs or search and rescue dogs or medical aid dogs and all kinds of needs. And this is just one other way that dogs can help us out with their amazing abilities is in the conservation world.
And one of the main chores, yeah. Corey, I understand, for Tilia is hunting down wild parsnip even before you and I are probably going to see it. How does Tilia do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So she's trained to find the first-year plants of wild parsnip. Wild parsnip is a two-stage or two-year plant, and the first year it's really low to the ground. It can easily be hidden by other prairie plants, other vegetation around it. And then the second year is when it shoots up a flower head, it bolts, and it sets seed. And that's when it becomes really, spreads really rapidly that way. So we focused on our training to find that first year plant that's really hard for us to find, but easy for her to find in those prairie or those sensitive areas that we're searching.
When you're out on the hunt for wild parsnip with Tilia, I'd imagine that, okay, Tilia finds wild parsnip and barks or goes a little crazy. No, that's not how it works, right?
Correct. She it's a very more of a passive response, I guess. She's going to pause wherever she's at, and she's going to wait for you know, if she's further ahead of me, she's going to wait for me there at that spot. And she's going to give me, that look and saying, hey, I found something. Something's here. And wait for me to investigate to confirm that's what she found. And then she gets rewarded. She gets a paycheck. Her reward is food. She's very food-driven. But other conservation dogs are very toy-driven or ball-driven as well. So they're looking for that reward. That's what kind of drives them. To keep working is that they know once they find something, they're going to get a toy or a treat of some sort. So they'll keep searching because they want that toy or that treat again. So
Tilia finds wild parsnip, which we want to get rid of. She also tracks down salamanders, which are not an invasive species. How does Tilia work with salamanders?
Yeah, so they're not invasive, but they're more elusive, right? So they're extremely difficult to find. We're looking for kind of absence and presence here on our property. We know we have a breeding population of salamanders here, but we have a very difficult time of finding them. So it's her job to do some monitoring efforts in the spring of the year and search our ephemeral ponds and looking for those salamanders underneath, you know, leaf litter, logs, rocks, or whatever it may be. And it's just so much more efficient because you don't have to go through the woods and slip over every rock and rake all the leaves looking for these tiny little creatures that are so elusive and difficult to find. So she's a lot more efficient. She's less invasive as well because it's just her and I walking through the woods and along the wetlands versus a team of people. So it's just a more efficient way of doing something.
Talking to Corey Gritzmacher from the Mequon Nature Preserve, talking about Tilia, the conservation dog who does a lot of work there. Corey, let's talk about the big projects going on at Mequon Nature Preserve. You have a really big restoration project that you and Tilia and others are working on.
Yeah, you can definitely say that. We're in the process of restoring about 400 acres of agricultural fields back to a mosaic of prairies, hardwood forests, and the wetland systems. So it's a pretty cool project. It's one of the largest protected green spaces in southeastern Wisconsin. And there's not too many people, in the United States or in the state of Wisconsin that are doing tackling this size of a restoration project. So it's a very unique location. We're on the border of two major watersheds. So our property actually serves the Milwaukee River watershed and the Little Menominee River watershed as well. So it's pretty unique to southeastern Wisconsin to have a property that can affect two watersheds, and the work that we're doing here can really affect everything else downstream, especially with, you know, we're talking about recent flooding events. Some of the restoration work by creating wetlands and reinstalling prairie and hardwood forests is going to affect and help prevent some of those massive flooding events that we've been seeing lately.
So Tilia is doing an important job here as part of all that. What does she do when she's off the clock?
She gets to be a family dog. She gets to be a dog. She gets to go home with our executive director, who's got two young kids, and she's got plenty of places to run and play and just have fun. So when she's at work, she's at work. But when she goes home at the end of the day, she can just be a family dog and just, you know, play fetch or, you know, chase rabbits or whatever she wants to do to have fun.
And Corey, before we let you go, can the public visit the Mequon Nature Preserve and maybe get to meet Tilia along the way?
Yes, most definitely. So the Mequon Nature Preserve is a nonprofit, but we're free and open to the public 365 days a year from sunup to sundown. There's over 5 miles of hiking trails. And our education center is open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. And Tilia is here most of those days. So if you stop in, feel free to ask if Tilia is around. I'd be more than happy to introduce her to you and tell you a little bit more about what she's doing here. So, yeah, we always encourage visitors. We love having visitors here.
Corey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Corey Gritzmacher is the Director of Restoration and Operations at the Mequon Nature Preserve. He talked with us about his work with Tilia, the conservation dog. Tilia, by the way, is Latin for basswood.